Welcome, everyone, to the Kathy Lee Parker Show, the number one place for enlightened and entertaining guests, positive vibes, and information that is spot on. And now, for your listening pleasure, your host, Kathy Lee Parker.
Thank you for tuning in and joining with me today. I have Joe Taylor. He's a singer, songwriter. And before I bring him on, we're going to hear his number one single that's hit the charts, especially in 2019, and still up there. And it's called I Can't Make You Love.
Like pretending you're the queen of hearts. No one gets past the palace guard. You bar the door, now nobody comes in. Then you complain of your loneliness, loneliness.
I can't make you love. See what you want to see. I can take you up or take you down. Change what you want to believe. I won't be there if you make me a stranger. Cause I can't make you love me. I won't be a victim. I can't play the martyr. I don't carry a sword or have a suit of armor. Can't be a hero or someone who dies for you. I'm just an average Joe, got nothing left to prove. And I'm telling you,
I can make you love, make you see what you wanna see. Take you up or take you down. Change what you are to believe.
I won't be there if you make me a stranger. Cause I can't make you love me. I can't make you love me.
Welcome, Joe, to my show.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
That song is absolutely beautiful. And it is still up there on the charts. It's way top 10. You've been up there
crazy.
For quite a long time, months.
Yes, it's been there for months. We're very close to number one in a couple. We're like number two on one chart, number three on another. So we'll see if next week we go all the way. But it's exciting. It's definitely exciting. I feel very privileged.
I remember when I've been watching you because we have some close friends. Remember watching you. It was like, gosh, it was like in August or September. And I'm thinking, he's just getting on there. He's not going to make it. And all of a sudden, bam, you just hit it in October and November, December.
Yeah, no, it's
even if you're
lucky.
One or two, that's not bad.
Sure.
That's
it's
good.
It's not bad, right? I know. We're like one of the only independents that are up there. Most people, you know, they have the label, they have the whole machine behind them, and that's great for them too. You know, they're doing very well, but there's a few independents in there though, so you can get onto the charts if you're an independent still. But it gets a little trickier, especially when you go top 40, which is a little different than just the adult contemporary hot AC. So it gets even a little more tricky. But if you have good people, you can get there. So you can do it.
So anyway, well, Joe, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from and what got you into music?
Yeah, well, I was born in Canada. I was born in Halifax, Canada, in Nova Scotia. And what really got me into music was my dad used to play a lot of music when I was 4 or 5 years old, and he actually played a lot of James Taylor, Jim Croce, but an artist that I really gravitated to was actually John Denver. He became my 5 years old. I started singing John Denver, and that's pretty well how I started music. I mean, I've been singing since I was five. There was a connection that I had to one of his albums at the time, and it just kind of went from there.
Mm-hmm. And what affects you, you know, what inspires you to, you know, be a songwriter in your style, you know, your style?
Yeah, I would say a lot of my style, musical style, comes from, and a lot of it comes actually from John Denver. When I started out, he had written an album right around in the early 80s, and it was an album called Seasons of the Heart, and there was this picture of him in China, and he had written, and it was a very somber album. Most of his stuff was all, you know, kind of happy and Sunshine on My Shoulders and Annie song and all that happy stuff, but this was a very dark, somber song, somber album, but it had a lot of depth, a lot of harmonies. So that's where I learned vocal harmony, songwriting, and then eventually by, like, as we got more into the 80s, into the later 80s, I became totally obsessed with the Beatles. I loved, became a huge, you know, John Lennon fan, loved John Lennon, loved the Beatles. So a lot of the writing styles were derived from that. And then from there, it's just expanded from there. Many, many different styles, many different genres. But that's pretty well what got me started. That movie Imagine was very inspiring for me. So it's a very cool story.
You have a really good backup team. That's won many awards.
Aren't they awesome? Yes. Oh my goodness! I know it's. They're like, Joe, don't put that stuff on the website. It's embarrassing. too many awards. So I sometimes kid them about it. I'll make fun of them sometimes because they all have awards, and so I'm like the only one that really doesn't. So
not yet.
So I'm just happy to be working with them. Well, we're getting there. Independent music award. So I finally won my first award about a month ago. So I have an award, but anyways, they're a very good team. They've got so much experience, and I'm so grateful to have them.
Well, it's like being the quarterback. You can't become a big star until you have a good team.
I know you got to have that. I know you got to have that great team. It's funny, the first song that we cut for this record, Follow the Trend, it took a while to cut it. We put the time and the care into it. And so it was more like an organic process that we just allowed to manifest. Once I kind of, before then I'd worked with the Springfield, Rick Springfield. I worked with his team and a lot of his people, and they're very good too. But there was a new direction I needed to go in when I formed with my new team. And it just took time. It just takes time to get things right.
Joe, let everybody know who's on your team, because they're award winners. Come on.
Oh, who is it? I don't know if I got this. Okay. Hey, well, the main people that I work with right now are Jane Getz and Bob Tucker. Now, Jane has worked with many people. I mean, she's worked with Harriet Nilsson. She recorded, I think she worked on 7 of his records. She worked on 4 of Ringo Starr's records. She worked with John Lennon. She worked with the Bee Gees back in the day. You know, she's an incredible, incredible songwriter. And apparently she's a famous jazz player. I didn't even know this. It was funny. I was talking to a friend of mine. You're like, "Are you playing with Jane Getz?" Yeah, Jane Getz. And it was funny because I was in New Orleans at the time and they knew who she was. So I'm like, holy crap. So Jane's famous in jazz, which I didn't know, but she writes pop music. And then Bob Tucker is the engineer, sound guy, kind of refer to him as the doctor of sound. He's won many, many Grammys. He worked with The Temptations. He actually worked with Tupac. He actually worked on a few of his records when he got started. So many people. They have all sorts of awards and successes over the years, and so it's exciting, and we have some great musicians too that we use. An awesome drummer is Tom Walsh. He's like kind of our go-to guy for drums, so he's fabulous. And another person is Chris Bellman, who's mm-hmm. kind of our main guy that we get to master the stuff. So he's kind of just, he's got more hardware than everybody else does combined. So everybody's laughing at all their hardware, and it's like, where's my hardware? I don't have any hardware. Yeah.
You'll get there. You get there because it takes a good team. You know what I mean?
It takes a good team. Exactly.
It sure does. And you're the star, and they're behind you to root you on. So tell me, where did you get your first gig?
Okay, this is a really funny story. It was actually a Chinese restaurant. It was called China Landing. It's like in a strip mall. You know, one of those places, you know, where you go in and you do the karaoke? It was kind of like that. It was nostalgic because it was my first gig, but it was tacky. We packed the place, though, so you had the little karaoke stage and we had a whole band. My first band at the time, we were the James Band. Originally we were the Unknown Legend, and then we became the James Band, and then we became. I'm trying to think what else we became. I think we became Undertow, and then we went back to the James Band, and apparently.
Anyway, what it was like to
it was fun.
Do you forget?
Good.
It was a strip club. Awesome. That's too funny.
It was so tacky. It was incredible. China Landing in Mississauga, Ontario.
Did you get some tips?
You know what? We actually got paid. It was like a paying gig. We got like $400. It's like $100 each for each of us. It was a big deal. We got paid. Yeah, it was. We packed them in though.
This would have been.
Now, this would have been like 91, which would have been, you know, I would say 91. Before then, all I ever really did was, I didn't really do gigs. I might sing a few songs here and there. And I did a play. I was Joseph, actually. When I was like in grade 6, I did a play. I sang. I played Joseph. In the Technicolor Dreamcoat, that was my... debuted on stage, but my first band show, it would have been China Landing, 1991.
Mm-hmm. It is.
December 1991, in the middle of a snowstorm up in Canada.
Did they throw money at you? I mean, you know, they have strip clubs, they throw money at you.
I wish they had thrown money at us. No, but we did a 3-hour gig. It was three hours.
I'm glad you did. Okay. Okay. Yes. Well, we'll be right back after these messages. Hold on, Joe.
There's a reason Summit County residents have been choosing Park City mattress for 10 years. With Sealy, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster right here in Park City. And the lowest price guaranteed. Park City Mattress in Redstone Village at Kimball Junction. See us at pcmattress.com.
Hidden Home Horse Rescue Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit that rescues both wild and domestic horses and other equine that are either unwanted, neglected, abused, or their humans move. Hidden Home helps rehabilitate them to be used in equine therapy to help those in need. We could use your support. You can contact us at 801-910-2698.
It's time to live your journey. Envision being stress-free. The Life Vessel is relaxation therapy that helps reduce stress, manage pain, detoxifies on all levels, supports the immune system, and balances hormones. Life Vessel uses an infrared light source that increases blood circulation and oxygen to the cells. Life Vessel of Utah does that and so much more. Call at 801-864-1300, lifevesselofutah.com.
Do you know how much equity is in your home, condo, or townhome? Do you want to lower your rate and take cash out? We're Valorem Equity, and we make mortgages easier. Give us a call at 800-764-9072 or visit valoremequity.com to receive your free home assessment today.
Trouble sleeping? The mattress you choose makes all the difference. How do you select from thousands? At Mattress Warehouse, we do things differently. We fit you to the right mattress that you will love for many years and get up to 8 months on our comfort guarantee. That's how sure we are about getting you the best night's sleep. Visit MattressWarehouseUtah.com and download your free mattress buyer's guide to help you select the right mattress at the best price. MattressWarehouseUtah.com.
This is Sherry, your Medicare specialist. I help people understand Medicare better in order to make smarter decisions among all the types of Medicare plans. Medicare seems complicated, but let me simplify it so that you feel empowered to make the right decisions for yourself about your health care. You need to understand all your options, so please don't let someone enroll you in a plan just because it looks good. You need someone in your corner, someone who is more concerned about you and less concerned about the money they'll make. Call me, Sherry, at 801-651-0644.
I'm back here with Joe Taylor, singer, songwriter. He's out of New York City, and he's been singing since the 90s, the early 90s. So, Joe, tell me, what was your first, besides your first guitar, mm-hmm. do you have another instrument that you really like?
Yeah, I play the piano a lot. I've become quite the piano lover, yes. The guitar definitely was the first thing I started with. Uh-huh. And, but no, the piano has been great. It's the reason why I like the piano so much is because when it comes to arranging and writing, it gives you a much more broad perspective, across all the instrumentation, all the genres, because the notes spread out so much, you can hear all the different parts. So that's why I love the piano so much. And of course it's a beautiful instrument.
So. When did you get your first guitar?
I got my first guitar. It was actually my sister's guitar.
And
it was an old beat up. Yeah, it was an old beat up guitar. And I started playing on that, and it was a Yamaha. It's, you know, and it's pretty rough. I still have it somewhere. I think it's in storage somewhere, probably back in Canada. Mm-hmm. But the first guitar that I bought was a 12 string. That was actually not the hand-me-down, but my own guitar. So I learned to play a lot of stuff on a 12 string, and that's obviously the John Denver influence. Mm-hmm.
Who taught you to play your first guitar chords?
Well, the funny story, when I went to a Catholic school before I switched over to the public school, there was a guy, it was in grade 9, his name was Mr. Anderson. And not Mr. Anderson from The Matrix, but Mr. Anderson. He was a religion teacher, and apparently he actually smoked a lot of dope. And at the time, I didn't realize it, but he was very out there, let's just say. And he's the guy that taught me the first chords. So I would come by after school, and he would show me chords. The first song that I learned how to play was Rock and Roll by the Beatles, but Chuck Berry, but Rock and Roll, the Beatles version. And so basically A, D, E. And pretty well, it kind of progressed from there. The next song was Yesterday, mm-hmm. by the Beatles again. And in the key of A, which is pretty tough because I had to learn how to do all these bar chords. So that's pretty well what got me started. He was... I don't know what he's doing. I haven't, I wonder what he's up to, Mr. Anderson, but I have to thank him, even though he was kind of out there for the time, mm-hmm. hippie for sure. I have to thank him for getting me started. So thank you, Mr. Anderson, for the guitar list.
Yeah, if he's listening. Who's your favorite, and you mentioned your favorite band, and then who's your favorite band in Canada?
My favorite band in Canada is definitely Blue Rodeo. They are, have you ever heard of Blue Rodeo?
No, never heard
of
them.
No, they're huge, 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 huge in Canada. They're big. Like they could sell out 50, 60,000 seats in Canada. Down here though, they would be lucky to bring 100 people. So they're kind of they're kind of pop rock, but they got a little bit of a country vibe. I'll send you a few of their tracks. You might really dig it. It's kind of got a pop vibe, sort of that. It's got a little bit of that. It sort of has a little bit of that Beatles vibe, but it's got a little country kind of in there as well. And it's got a little bit of rock and roll. It's kind of all put together. They've got that. They tend to have a lot of organs, that cool B3 vibe in their stuff, and they got the harmonies, they got two singers, you know, a little bit of like Lennon McCartney kind of vibe. Actually a guy named the main singer is Jim Cuddy, and then Greg Keeler is the other. So Cuddy's got kind of the higher voice that's smoother, and Keeler's got that really raspy voice that's more baritone that cuts through. And when you put it together, it's like salt and pepper. It's beautiful, beautiful blend and great songwriting. So they're probably my favorite Canadian band. It's too bad they never made it down here, but they should. Mm-hmm. They should be well known down here, I think. So, yeah.
Are there any bands today that you really admired and are influenced by?
Yeah, I would say the one band that I'm probably the most influenced. I'm influenced by a few, but the one that has really impressed me the most in the last 10, 15 years, I would say it's probably One Republic, Ryan Tedder. Uh-huh. And so Ryan Tedder is a phenomenal. Are you familiar with One Republic? Ryan Tedder is like, he was writing songs for Adele. I think he wrote a song for like J-Lo, and he worked with this guy, Usher. And he basically is just across the board. He writes for other people. He produces. They do their own stuff. I think their breakthrough song was called Apologize. That was just going back a few years, but they're still around now. They're still relevant. They actually have a song called Somebody to Love. Same as my song, Somebody to Love. We got the same title. So That's their single. So they were doing very well. So that's probably my biggest influence. Britpop with a little bit of, Britpop vocal, but then you got the rhythm behind it as well, that kind of rhythmic, great melodies, orchestration, which I love. I love strings, cellos, violins, violas. So.
Joe, do you have anybody in your family besides you that plays like the instrument, besides your sister, but anybody else?
I would say the only person that I would say that plays, has any musical talent in my family is probably my brother. And he'll strum a few chords. He's kind of like the chord guy, and he'll play a little bit of piano, but he never really got too serious with it. But I would say that's it. I have a niece, a second cousin that does like Broadway stuff up in Canada. But besides that, no, there's really not a musical. I don't have a very musical family.
And
I have been mixed up at the hospital.
That's okay. It has to start somewhere. And do you write all your music, or does your team? I know your team kind of helps out, but
I have a team.
Do you ever sit down and write something yourself?
I co-write. The majority of the stuff, though, it originates from me. So I'll take it. Sometimes I'll have it developed. Sometimes I can walk in to my team and have it 90% there. Sometimes it's 50% there. But usually it originates with me. It all originates with me.
So the song we heard earlier, I Can't Make You Love, is that personal? Because it sounds like it came from something very personal to your heart.
Very, it's a very personal song. Yeah, it was, it goes back many years ago. And the idea is that, I'll give you kind of the general idea of it, is, it doesn't matter, how much you maybe want to be with somebody or how much you love somebody. If they don't feel that way about you, you can't do it. You can't carry them if they're not willing to go there. And so it goes back to my childhood, a little bit of a crush when I was in high school. And the whole premise of that kind of comes back from there. And then of course I take it to today when I think about other people that are, you get one person that's trying to make it work, and the other person's just like, it just gets to a point where at a certain point you got to just step away. So,
Well, would you like to have your own produce your own records? Would you like to do that someday? Or
well, the funny thing is, I am actually a co-producer, I'm already doing that. Yes, I'm already doing that. So, I'm selfishly dedicating myself right now at the moment to myself. But yeah, so before the stuff even gets to LA, there's a lot of work that has to go in. My team is so good. It's like, they're very good, but this is sort of the way it is. If I wanted to just bring it to them and say, okay, produce this from scratch, they can do it, and they will come up with amazing stuff. But for me, I prefer to have more of a role and bring them stuff that is at a much farther along level than most musicians that are going to bring to their producers. So I do a lot of that production, pre-production at home. I'll do that in my little studio, my little JT Studios here in New York, and I'll go through hours and hours and hours on end. That song, I Can't Make You Love, before it even gets to LA, there's like, I could put 50 hours into the pre-production. Yes. And then eventually it goes to them. And then they don't have to worry about, developing this thing from scratch. And so they're more free to just do what they do, which is to put the final, to put the later tweaks to it. They're not worrying about, all the things, yes, we do some co-writes. Jane and I, we do a lot of, we'll go back and forth with some of the music. She's, you know, we do a lot of lyrics too. She's wonderful. She can just go in there and do so many things. But if I gave her something that was at the beginning phase, she'll finish it and she'll do phenomenal. But it's going to take them a lot longer. So I would rather them not have to burn their candles at the end and save their abilities to really bring this thing up to another level, if that makes sense. So we're already coming up with a great idea. Everybody's feeling good.
Yeah, Joe, you call them for help and things like that too, right? You know, if you get stuck with the song.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, you just can't get it just completely right. So you have to call one of them and say, you know, finish this.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I know that I'm always going to be able to, I'll be able to work with Jane. She's fabulous, you know, when it comes to, most of the time, though, there's really not a lot of stress because there's a lot of songs that are in, I have a lot of songs in my catalog. So if I want to go back 20 years, I can pull a song from 20 years ago and come at it with fresh eyes. I'm never under pressure where, oh my God, I can't get this. If I can't get it, then there's no reason to force it. And that goes back into my Joe Taylor vault. And then maybe a year down the road, maybe I'm in a little bit of a different headspace. And all of a sudden I have fresh ears and voila, it's magic. And, and I'm like, hey, Jane, what do you think of this? And she's like, okay, I like this. And let's try this though. Why don't we switch this? Now, if I'm going to my rating partners and something needs to really be developed because it's just not there. Mm-hmm. There's so much time they have to put into it. And it slows down the whole process. So I'd rather take care of that stuff on the front end. And then on the back end, it's more fun. Everybody's having a lot more fun. So
Do you have any, I guess more questions, but we'll be right back after these messages.
Of course.
There's a reason Summit County residents have been choosing Park City Mattress for 10 years. With Sealy, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster right here in Park City. And the lowest price guaranteed. Park City Mattress in Redstone Village at Kimball Junction. See us at pcmattress.com.
Hidden Home Horse Rescue Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit that rescues both wild and domestic horses and other equine that are either unwanted, neglected, abused, or their humans move. Hidden Home helps rehabilitate them to be used in equine therapy to help those in need. We could use your support. You can contact us at 801-910-2698.
It's time to live your journey. Envision being stress-free. The Life Vessel is relaxation therapy that helps reduce stress, manage pain, detoxifies on all levels, supports the immune system, and balances hormones. Life Vessel uses an infrared light source that increases blood circulation and oxygen to the cells. Life Vessel of Utah does that and so much more. Call at 801-864-1300, lifevesselofutah.com.
Do you know how much equity is in your home, condo, or townhome? Do you want to lower your rate and take cash out? We're Valorem Equity, and we make mortgages easier. Give us a call at 800-764-9072 or visit valoremequity.com to receive your free home assessment today.
Trouble sleeping? The mattress you choose makes all the difference. How do you select from thousands? At Mattress Warehouse, we do things differently. We fit you to the right mattress that you will love for many years and get up to 8 months on our comfort guarantee. That's how sure we are about getting you the best night's sleep. Visit MattressWarehouseUtah.com and download your free mattress buyer's guide to help you select the right mattress at the best price. MattressWarehouseUtah.com.
This is Sherry, your Medicare specialist. I help people understand Medicare better in order to make smarter decisions among all the types of Medicare plans. Medicare seems complicated, but let me simplify it so that you feel empowered to make the right decisions for yourself about your health care. You need to understand all your options. So please don't let someone enroll you in a plan just because it looks good. You need someone in your corner, someone who is more concerned about you and less concerned about the money they'll make. Call me, Sherry, at 801-651-0644.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm sitting here with Joe Taylor. He's a singer-songwriter out of New York City. And Joe, tell me, how does it feel like to be the top 10 out of 40 songs on the radio?
Well, I have to say, it feels very good.
Have you heard yourself? I mean, have you?
I have heard myself. It's funny to, some people will kind of, they'll leave comments and they'll say, hey, I heard you, you know, you're on the radio. The thing is, though, that most of the areas that we're getting most of our play are not, I live in New York, so we're not, it's not in New York, it's not in L.A. right now. It's not in the major cities. It's kind of the middle-sized cities the songs are starting to come into. So once you've really made it and you're like, ooh, you know, you're all over the place, then you'll get, they'll play you on the, you'll get played on the mix, you know, New York's, whatever New York's major station is or whatever LA's major stations are. That's sort of the last, that's the part where everybody knows who you are after that point. So we're not quite at that point, even though we're almost at number one, but it's how it works. But no, it's very exciting. And I have to tell you, the DJs have actually been very supportive. They've been very friendly. I have to say they've been amazing. The, National Radio Hits has been amazing. The New Music Weekly have also been amazing. All these different radio, affiliates that track performance, they have all been really, really, really nice. So I couldn't be more blessed. I'm so lucky to
well,
have
maybe Joe, I can ask the producer of BBS Radio, because I know they play a lot of music, and see if they will add you to their list. So they have millions of listeners. So they got millions of listeners from all over the world. So, my station's huge and growing. It's constantly growing. So, I can ask them and see if they'll play it for you.
That is very kind of you. And
yes. Especially if it's on the top, you know, I mean, it will just help you grow even more. And you're successful. And we have a good friend, too, Gene Pierre. Gene Pierre, he was on my show. Yeah, he was on my show not too long ago, and he's an excellent composer putting music together.
He's wonderful.
And have you done some work with him lately?
I haven't at right now, but at some point, him and I will definitely we'll get together at some point. I'm thinking maybe we'll do like some kind of opera together. We'll write an opera together because I also do instrumental as well, and I arrange. Classical. I do play classical music as well. I write and play.
Oh,
I would
classical.
Love to do an opera with Jean-Pierre. And so there you go. And if you want to be in the opera, if it ever goes to stage, we will have you be part of it. So
Okay. I don't know what I'll do, but it's okay.
Well,
we'll figure it out. But, you know, so what do you see yourself in about, I would say 10 years, but let's go with five.
Where do you see
yourself in 5 years with your music?
I think it's going to be, in 5 years, I think it'll be well known around the world. It's going to be all around the world. I got a song called All Around the World. It's going to be all around the world. I think I'm going to be known. Not because none of this... You know, you get a lot of these really young artists and, oh, my goodness, blah, blah, blah. It's not like that. People are just going to know my music. They're going to come to concerts. I'm going to tour all over the world. And it's just going to be like, I like this music. kind of like if you ever go to an ELO concert, Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah.
I love Jeff Lynne,
yeah.
by the way. People uh-huh. aren't really going, oh, it's Jeff Lynne. Oh. No, it's more like, I love the music. Mm-hmm. There's great music. I'm going because I love this music. That's what it's going to be for me. It's, you know, it's going to be known kind of on that level where people will know the music. So
mm-hmm. would anybody be able to, like, to say a young artist mm-hmm. contacted you and this, you know, young person
yes.
was very good.
Yeah.
And would you mentor them?
I certainly would, but it would also have to be, it's not just talent alone. It also has to be a headspace and an ability to want to learn. So there's a personality thing as well, but most definitely, yes, if there was the right chemistry as far as mentoring. Because there's some very talented young folks that are not into listening. So you'll get as
what would that
good
they,
as...
You think that's their age? Come on, Joe.
I,
you know,
I
you
think,
get a 14
I,
or 15-year-old. Come on, do you think they're going
to
listen?
I think to a point, but I think, but you still have to be willing to listen and grow. You know, here's the thing. Sometimes it's really difficult if somebody is all talent. They get to a certain level. It's very hard to tell them something else because they've already gotten to a certain level already. It's sometimes it's the people that have a little bit less talent, but a little more wanting to just learn and to grow. Those are the ones in the end that you got to really watch for. They're what I refer to as the sleepers. They're the ones that you never thought that would ever end up, but they do because they have a willingness to just, I'm not expecting some perfect suit, you know, it's like, oh, my God, you know, oh, my goodness, oh, you know, it's blah, blah, blah. But somebody who's got to have a bit of an open mind and realize there's a very big picture that goes that's even bigger than them. And so this was a very hard lesson for me to learn as well. But definitely somebody who's got an open mind, I most definitely would mentor somebody, yes. But, again, a personality would have to connect. It has mm-hmm. to click. So, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Do you have any yeah. plans to go on tour throughout the United States or anywhere?
Yes, not yet. But what the goal is, we're just going to build up the profile more.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to. I got to get a couple of awards first before. You know, I got.
You're so funny.
But my profile has to build more. I've got to build it up even more because I'm not just looking to do, I've toured extensively. I've done clubs. I've done bars. I've done coffee houses. And I'm kind of at the point now where I'm like, okay, now it's time to get to the point where we're doing theaters and we're going to be doing, you know, major venues. And that is the goal as an opener to start. Mm-hmm. And but the goal is to get my profile up a few more notches so that, you know, at that point, these things have a way of falling into place. But also my show, my live show, is also going to take another year or so to get organized. Because of the quality on the CD, I want to make sure that I'm able to perform at an optimal level, meaning not just it sounds like I'm just thrashing in a garage band. Not to knock that, because when you're 16, it's great, and even when you're 21, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. But there's a different level of there's a different vision that I have, and a different level of command amongst music. So these take the right players, and it takes having the right players and the right team members that are in your band as well. And those things, they take time. So there's a development process. So until that process is met, we will continue to keep making studio records. So mm-hmm. this is the long-term plan, long midterm plan. So
is your team that you have on board with you, or,
yes.
you know, are you very supportive? I mean, they're supportive of you, of course, but are you supportive of them as well?
I am extremely supportive of them. It's like if there was something that they needed me to do, I would do it. You know, It goes two ways. You don't get to a certain point if mm-hmm. if it's just all about me. This is me. Blah blah. You know, it is a team, and so without the right team, it's just not going to work out. You might have some success for a while, but you know, you've got to be able to develop relationships, and you know respect. It's mutual respect and mutual admiration, and it goes a long way, especially when you're willing to put in the time.
Has anybody called you lately to come and do a concert? You know, a gig? Do you get those?
I've had a couple of calls to do a few gigs. There was one gig I was going to do in New York. It was going to be at the Cutting Room, very nice venue. It just didn't work out. The venue ended up re-canceling on the opener. They moved it to another venue, and I was kind of like, you know what, we'll do another show together. Yeah, I'm not saying I won't do a couple of, you know, shows here and there. But for me, my commitment is more towards the radio. Like you had mentioned, you know, your uh-huh. network has millions of listeners. You know, so I got to think about it. As an independent, I'm limited to resources because I don't have the machine behind me. So I have to make every dollar count, and I have to know where am I going to get the best, you know, the best, I guess, what do you want to call it, return on investment from a business standpoint of view. So when you do gigs, they cost money.
Uh-huh.
So that's why you
would you
make
be?
Sure.
I got to ask you a question. Somebody called you from, I don't know, say Salt Lake City. Somebody called you from Salt Lake City, and they said, we want you to come and play, mm-hmm. and we have a band here, so you have to worry about bringing a band. Would you still come?
I would absolutely consider it. I would have to see what the – I would have to weigh it out.
Band is like and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I'd have to, I would have to weigh it out and see. But, no, I'm definitely open to that. But – you know, I'm definitely open to it. For many years, though, I chased it. I chased trying to get the gigs, I'm at a point now where I'm not chasing it so much anymore. When I get to the point where it's not that I'm not chasing it, but I'm selective about what I do because there's only so much time. So I'm at that point now where I'm going to utilize my time to be most effective. So getting onto an opening, you know, getting out another album, maybe getting another two or three songs that go top 20, you know, maybe eventually start charting on Billboard, that there will put me in a situation where I can go and open up for whoever it is. It's like, hey, Bon Jovi, you're still going? You know, okay, let's have an opener. You know what I'm saying? So it's sort of looking at it like that. Now, my chops, I've got very good chops over the years because, you know, I don't know if I told you this, but I was the Subway Idol in New York City. I played probably about 1,000 shows in the Subway. You know, have you been to New York City? You go into the Subway?
Yes, yes.
So I got to be, which is funny. I'm just being silly about that.
So you were the guy.
I got some chops. I was the guy there. Yeah, with the long hair. The guy, you know, you're walking by, you're in rush hour, and people, like, you know, their faces kind of, their heads are down, and they got the, you know, the frown, and if I can make a few of them smile, distract them for a few minutes, the toughest audience in the world is probably New York, and it was my chops, so I was getting my chops in order, and I just had to do it 1,000 or so times, 3-hour gigs a day, you know. And then I would tour, and then I'd be touring when I wasn't doing the Subway. So it was nonstop. But the problem was my writing was not developing as much as it needed to because I was exhausted. I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm exhausted. I have to sleep. I can't, you know. So I'm utilizing this time now that I'm back home in New York, not that I'm not doing a few shows here and there, to work on writing, to get the next couple of albums so that I know that a lot of that pre-production is already done and I can just say, hey, Bob and Jane, you know, and my radio guy, Larry, hey guys, and Larry's a big team member as well. You know what? We got this new album. Okay, Chris, let's master this thing. and let's just go from there. And so to have all that pre-production already done of songs that I feel really strongly about and that I've marinated, sometimes I write them right away. Like I Can't Make You Love was the last song on the record. I realized, hey, Bob and Jane, we don't have a ballad. So literally, probably a couple of weeks before we started mastering the record, I pulled that song out, just kind of wrote it out of nowhere and said, hey, Jay, what do you think of this? And she, so we rushed that one. Well, we didn't really, but, and boom, we turned it around really quickly, but I had also put 4 months into it a year earlier to put the pre-production in there so that if we needed to go quick, we could do it because it was done. The thought process was already done. So, you know, so they can come anytime, but I'm enjoying this time at home to write and get the next few albums together. And then from there, we tour the world. You know, it's a process. It's hard to do everything at once.
I understand. I've seen some of my friends that are, you know, once they're in a spotlight and then they take time off and then they write, like you're saying, like they write and focus on other things with their music. Yes. And then they have to get back out there again.
Right. Once you get the therapy sessions done from being in the studio with your band members,
Let's
do it.
Right. So, you know, let my audience know, where can they, you know, you got a website, any information?
Hello, audience. Hi, Kathy Lee audience. Thanks for having me. Thank you so much. You can go to JoeTaylorOfficial.com. All links will be there. Just type in JoeTaylorOfficial.com and everything will come up. And that's it.
Where can they find your music? Where can they buy your songs?
Well, you can go on to iTunes. You can go on to CD Baby. If you go on to the official, just my official page, you will be able to pull up everything. Everything will come up. But, yeah, you go to CD Baby. My album is called Follow the Trend. Just type my album in. I'm actually about to release part 2 of Follow the Trend Digital. So I have 2 parts digital. So one part, which I released last year, February the 21st, this Friday, I'll be releasing the second half digitally. But my physical album is available and has been available with all the songs on it. And that you can get on CD Baby or you can go to Amazon. You can get that just about anywhere. But just type in Joe Taylor, Follow the Trend.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Get it all.
Okay.
Yes.
We got it.
Awesome.
I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I'm going to play one of your songs, Somebody to Love, but before we go into that, I want to thank BBS Radio and Primetime Media. Thank them so much for the support of having me have a show, and Joe, thank you so much for coming on, and I do want you to come back in a couple months or towards the end of the summer.
And then maybe let me know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes,
yeah,
I would love for him to be here. Yes, absolutely. Okay. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you, Kathy.
Somebody to Love. Joe Taylor, Somebody to Love.
Talking in your sleep, by the way, try to make it out today. You wanna lie in bed, feeling like you're dead. You don't wanna move on with your life. Is it just in your head? He was a sweet talking general, a rook that took your queen, a flim flam man that swept you off your feet. He told you all the things you wanted to hear. He promised you forever, then he disappeared. But don't give up, you did it for love. Searching by the one we all call love. Call them in the
smooth talker, all glitter and tattoos. You tried to seduce her, but you wouldn't listen to her, so she walked away, refused to play your game. Now you feel the pain. Now you're alone once again. You need a shot of confidence. It's a cruel world, rejection hurts. You gotta learn to respect the girl, give her what she needs. You might get lucky. And everybody needs somebody to love. Searching for the one we all call love. You can hug them till the morning, take a walk in the afternoon. We all need somebody to love. Oh, we all need somebody to love. Somebody. My heart, you took it and you ripped it up and tore it all apart. I can't stand to live alone. I can't make it if you're not here with me.